Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, my name is out the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is September the 10th, 2024, or it's Tishri 8, 2028. We're going to start our first service today. We're going to do that sermon again, taken from one time of greeting, number 46, that we did a couple of days ago. And there's some new things in there. And I point them out, but we're going to do it again because we need to keep it in memory, some of these new things we're learning. It's talking about us today. So it says, the servants of Yahweh in the gathering time, we're on one time of greetings, number 46. And we're going to do that again carefully. So our people in Africa, I want you to pay close attention. Jeff White, when you hear these sermons, if you can understand them all clearly, get these new points and comment on them. I'd like to hear from you, Jeff White, about what we used to hear from you, but I don't hear from you through Catherine anymore. We don't want to get settled on all these and think that we've already arrived, because we haven't. We got a atonement coming up here in 2 days. We got to get ready for it. This is an important atonement. And depends on if we get our sins blotted out, then we're going to have to do some preparation right now to make sure that we're doing everything we can to get our sins blotted out. So it says, the servants of Yahweh in the gathering time, Jacob's time of the trouble, Judah and Israel, going home. Yahweh's certification to resurrect, purify, and consolidate Judah and Israel. This is, I shall read from the Mount of the Blessing on page 211. For the people have been deeply moved by the words of the Yahshua, for his words has struck at the very root of their former ideas and opinions. To obey his teaching would require a change in all of their habits of the thought and action. It would bring them into collision with their religious teachers. Since the teaching of the Yahshua require a change in the thought and action, we should not be surprised if that is what his message of the day would require of us. Let us conclude today's reading by turning to page 216. He who, like the Jews in the Yahshua's day, builds on the foundation of the human ideas and opinions of forms and ceremonies of man's invention, or on any works that he can do independently of the grace of the Yahshua, is erecting his structure of our character upon the sifting sand, for the fierce tempest of the temptation will sweep away the sandy foundation and leave his house a wreck on the shores of time. Let us pray for Yahweh to help us make sure that the foundation of our faith is built upon the Yahweh's word, the solid rock, that we might know that anything short of it will sooner or later fall, that we let the Yeshua have his way in us, that we let him change our habits and practices from what they are to what they ought to be. We are to study the 49th chapter of the Isaiah. This chapter points out the servants of Yahweh in the gathering time. This is a text of address by V.T. Haller, June 21st, 1947. So it says, and there's their need for the territorial expansion. We shall begin the study with the first three verses of Isaiah 49:1-3. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from far, for the Yahshua has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand. Hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft in his quiver, hath he hid me and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Now, this is talking about the house of David today. Whoever the servant is that's placed over Yahweh's household today, this is who will be the one that's going to have the same role that Elijah had in his day, the Tishbite, the same role that John the Baptist had in his day. Yahshua called him the Elijah of his day. And he said he's going to send an Elijah in these last days. He said he's going to be a forerunner of Yahshua. When Yahshua suddenly comes to his temple, it's going to be because it's antitypical Elijah, whoever he is. When he comes, he's going to point out Yahshua when he appears. Brother Johnson thought he was this Elijah in 2002. He prophesied to us and he said, Yahshua is coming this Passover in person. We're going to see him in person. So we were all excited about the Passover 2002. Well, Yahshua came all right, but he came to the threshold of the house, and that's all the further he came, because Brother Johnson didn't hear his voice and didn't have the spirit to invite him to come in, because if he did, he'd been inviting him to come into a purified people, a purified church. But there was neither one, so Yahshua couldn't come in. But he came there, and he changed the guard from Brutus to antitypical Elijah David. And that's who we are today. So when Isaiah here is talking about this Isaiah 49:1-3, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from far, for the Yahshua hath called me. Now this prophecy is present tense. He's talking about Elijah David. He has called me from the womb, just like he did Jeremiah, Isaiah, like he did all the prophets. He called them from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, and the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft in his quiver, hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. For the Spirit of Yahweh, in the person of Israel, sought the prophet Isaiah, declares, For the Spirit of the Yahshua, Son of the Yahweh, in the person of the Israel, through the prophet Isaiah, declares that Israel was born for no other reason than to be Yahweh's servant, and urges that this fact must now be made known throughout the world, even unto the isles of the sea. Since the Jacob of old himself was dead long before the Isaiah the prophet wrote, the truth clearly stands out that the Spirit of the Yahweh in this scripture speaks not personally to Jacob himself, but to his descendants, unto those unto whom this truth is made known, and who now bear the responsibility to broadcast it far and wide. Plainly then, the people in whom the Yahshua is to be glorified, and who again bring Jacob to him, Isaiah 49:3-5, are themselves also to be made known internationally, for they are those who finished the gospel work. And a gospel, a definition for the word gospel is faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. And that's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. In other words, it's the plan of the salvation that will bring in and harvest all the good wheat and grain of the earth in these last days. And it will also be the power to the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 13:20, of the Yahshua, the same covenant that he raised his son up, Yahweh the Father raised his son up from the grave through the power of the gospel of the blood, through the power of the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 13:20. So he says, that's what's going to resurrect all the righteous from Adam clear on down to them. Those that had faith and practiced the sanctuary service had faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. To them, the Yahshua gives a mouth as sharp as a sword. So, we are the ones that he has chosen, this house of David, this antiquity lodge of David. We are the ones he has chosen. And he's going to make our mouth as sharp as a sword. These are to be his servants during the gathering of the people, the day in which Yahshua is glorified, they're being hid as it were in his a quiver, denotes that they're coming into the limelight, is to be a complete surprise unto all. For the first time the world is to learn that these servants of the Yahweh are the tail end of the Jacob's descendant, his hidden servant, these who are to gather his people, even from the isles of the sea. Let's go ahead and let's read that again. Again, it is written in the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged, for they are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and He cannot use them. Mm-hmm. For Yahshua is a faithful servant, who in the shaking, testing time will be disclosed to you. So He has faithful servants today. Mm-hmm. Here in 2024, mm-hmm. right here at the Atonement, of the seventh month, He has faithful servants in the Adventist Church that are ready to be disclosed to you. We don't know who they are, we don't know where they are. All we know, the Spirit knows, and it will bring them forth at the appointed time. And we're going to be surprised to see who they are. There are precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee to Baal. What did Yahshua say to Elijah when Elijah fled for 40 days? He ended up in a little cave in a mountain. Could have been 1,000 miles away from where he left running. And the 40 days later, Yahshua met him there and said, Elijah, what are you doing out here? And he says, well, I'm the only one left standing up for you in the tree, and they seek to kill me. He said, Elijah, I've got 7,000 in Israel. Where you left behind. I've got 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. Well, we know that 7,000 multiplies into 144,000 as a symbol in these last days. And they're in the Adventist Church. So how many servants is Yahshua got hidden in the Adventist Church today? He's got 144,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal all over the world. The 144,000 are in the four corners of the earth. Okay? They have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you, representing the house of David today. But it may be under or with a rough and uninviting exterior that the pure brightness of a genuine Christian character will be revealed. Right. Testimony, Volume 5, page 8081. Okay. It says, Isaiah 49:4. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Yahshua and my work with my Yahweh, the Father. At the outset of their labor, the results must be such as to bring almost a complete discouragement. For they nevertheless know that they are appointed by Yahweh, and so they leave their judgment, their work and success with Him. Okay. Isaiah 49:5. And now saith Yahshua that formed me from the womb to be His servant. Now he's talking to whoever prophet is receiving this message today. This is who he's talking to. A spirit of prophecy is called the living word. It adapts to the time in which it is unfolded. To whoever it's unfolded to, that's who he's talking to. This is why it says right here, and now saith to Yahshua that formed me, Elijah David, from the womb, to be His servant, to bring Jacob again unto Him. Well, Jacob's got to be introduced again here in these last days. Okay? It's going to be done by the antitypical Elijah through Israel, though Israel be not yet it, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yahshua. So it says, though Israel, who's called Israel today? The 144,000, the purified saints of the Adventist Church, the other one that's called Israel. Adventist Church is not called Israel. Sister White told the Adventist Church that they were the spiritual Israel of today. No, they have this spiritual of Israel in their ranks. And that's 144,000. That's what makes the Adventist Church the spiritual Israel. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yahshua, and my Yahweh, the Father, shall be my strength. Mm-hmm. For their encouragement they are told that even though Israel be not gathered, he will, however, be gathered, yet they shall be glorious in the eyes of Yahshua, and Yahshua shall be their strength. Since they are now not at another time, but in the day that this prophecy is fulfilled, called to bring Jacob unto the Yahshua again, it shows that Jacob, the people of Yahweh in their Jacobite state, must have departed from the Yahshua. Now they must be brought back unto him by a mighty revival and reformation. This revival and reformation will be conducted by the purified house of David. And whenever the 144,000 shows up, as the prophets, priests, and kings sit upon thrones in this house of David, then you're going to know that the time has come. And he said it is a light thing, Isaiah 49:6. As that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved, which is the sanctified saints in the Adventist Church of the Israel. That will be the 144,000. I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. We have to be practicing Yahweh's government 100%. If he's going to make us the salvation, even unto the Gentiles and to the end of the earth, we have to become sanctified, purified, and made well, 100% holy. That's what the Day of Atonement is for. This signifies, if we get our sins blotted out on the Day of Atonement, we conduct ourselves right, then Yahweh's healing hand will be upon us. And we will be blessed in every way. But if we continue on like we are in these broken down bodies, like my wife and I have got, we've got broken down bodies, it shows that we've got sin. That we've got sin in our lives, we've got sin in our bodies. That we're not a purified church of David yet. Okay? But we know how to become purified. And that's the wonderful part about it all. We know how to do it. And if we practice it, then the power of the Holy Spirit will bring it about. Like I said, for the scripture has as its type the time when the apostles were finally instructed to preach the gospel unto the Gentiles as well as unto the Jews. Now, why did it say Jews? Judeans, the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver. They were the ones ruling in Jerusalem and the apostles there. The antitypical Judeans. Now, to raise up the tribes of Jacob is first to raise up the first fruits, the 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe of the Israel, Revelation 7:3. Moreover, to be a light and a salvation unto the ends of the earth means that this latter day servant of the Yahweh are to finish the gospel work. So it means that the house of David, the purified 144,000, are the ones that are empowered to finish the gospel work until all the ends of the earth, or to preach the gospel of the kingdom in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and thus bring the end, Matthew 24:14. It is our privilege, therefore, for not only to bring the light of Yahweh unto the Seventh Adventist denomination, where the first fruits, 144,000, Revelation 14:4, are the great spiritual harvest, but even to bring the same light unto the second fruits, unto the great multitude that are gathered out of our own nation, a multitude which no man can number, Revelation 7:9. Those who are thus privileged are, as Yahweh himself testified, the descendants of Jacob, the lost tribes of the Israel, who are now coming to the light. Isaiah 49:7. Thus saith Yahshua, the Redeemer of Israel. This is the Son of Yahweh, and His Holy One unto Him. Okay, it's talking about the Father and the Son here. Let's read that again, Isaiah 49:7. Thus saith Yahweh, with the Redeemer of Israel, His Holy One, unto Him whom man despises, unto Him whom the nation abhorreth, unto a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of Yahshua that is faithful, and I. Because of Yahweh the Father that is faithful, and His Son, with His Son, the Holy One of Israel, and Yahshua, and He shall choose thee. Who is this thee? This is the house of David. This is the one He's placed in charge of the everlasting kingdom of Daniel 2:44-45, that Yahweh through His Son sits up here on this earth, and the 12th parabolic jar that we're in now. For Yahshua is here seen to speak unto a people whom men despise, unto them whom the nation abhors, unto the servants of the rulers, to the laymen, not to the denominationally recognized ministry. This servant of the Yahshua, as the scriptures make clear, is despised and abhorred as much as was the Yahshua himself. Well, that's it. I'm the Elijah David, that's the forerunner of Yahshua. And if Yahshua was despised, how about his forerunner, Elijah? John the Baptist his day. He was despised. Now the king and everybody ended up cutting his head off. The king did. for the hate then that is heaped upon us by our Seventh-day Adventist led of sin brethren must not be a discouragement unto us, but rather a great encouragement. And why? Because the Spirit of Yahshua himself testifies that we are the servant of Yahweh for this time, that he is to bless our work so much so that even the king shall see our rising, and princes also shall come and worship. Isaiah 49:8. Thus saith Yahshua, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of the salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for the establishing of the earth, for the causing to inherit the desolate heritages. What a privilege, what a high calling that Yahweh would choose us here. Seemingly cast off and put out of the way, and nobody knows where we're at, hardly in the Adventist Church. And here we are today, and he's chosen us to establish the earth. Earth and prophecy is the United States. We got to establish the United States. First we start with Texas, and then we establish the whole United States. That's Australia, that's all the islands that the United States possess, of Hawaii, Puerto Rico, all those different islands. We're going to establish all of them. For Yahweh has heard us in the probationary time, a time in which we can be sealed and be preserved for a covenant of the people, for the establishing of the earth, for the inheriting of the desolate heritages, for the restoring all things. This is what we're privileged now, the house of David, to do. It starts here in Texas, spreads all over the United States, then it goes right to Africa, where we've had a great work been going for many years. So we have a wonderful, wonderful privilege now to be the leadership of this everlasting kingdom that Yahweh is setting up here in the days of these ten-toed kings, in the days of these kings, many of these those Arab nations that surrounds Israel over there want to take our land away from them. And Hamas and them have boasted in Lebanon. Well, we have taken Lebanon, we've taken the West Bank, and we're going to churn away the land of Israel. We've taken all the south of Jordan. We've taken all that Saudi Arabia down to Yemen. We've taken all of Iraq and Afghanistan and Iran. We've taken all of those, Turkey. We've taken all of that on the north, south, east, and west. We've taken all of that. Just these 10 main kings, and I just named them. Egypt is one of them. And they said, we've chewed away Israel until we're going to keep a churn until they don't have a peace left. That's what they just boasted here just this recently. It matters not where Yahweh's people be, nor under what circumstances they be placed. They shall nevertheless all hear his servants proclaiming the year of the final jubilee, and all are to be let out free, all are to share this great ever-increasing spiritual feast. Isaiah 49:10-11. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them Even by the springs of the water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. For the Yahshua here guarantees that now in the gathering time, there shall be no obstruction of any kind, that he is master of the situation. Isaiah 49:12. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Yahweh's highway shall be filled and exalted, and a multitude gathered from the four corners of the earth shall safely walk therein. Isaiah 49:13. Sing, O heaven, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountain, for Yahshua has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Nor that the Yahshua will comfort his people, but that he has already comforted them. He has filled them with the present truth here in this 12th parabolic hour, and that them, pronoun them, is talking about the house of David, the antithetical house of the Elijah David. Mount Zion, the 12th hour. Isaiah 49:14. But Zion said, the Yahshua hath forsaken me, and my Yahshua hath forgotten me. Before they are sealed, those who are to be the inhabitants of the Mount Zion, the 12th hour, with the 144,000, I think Yahweh has forsaken them. Yahweh's answer unto them, though, is this. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Even though some, rather than praying for the reestablishing of the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, are actually praying against it, nevertheless they too will soon find out that the Yahweh is entirely for it. Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. So we're in the house of David are graven upon the palms of Yahshua's hand. From all the natural appearances, it seems that the Yahweh, the Father, has forgotten Mount Zion, the 12th hour, the house of David, the place of his earthly throne. Let's do that again. From all the natural appearances, it seems that the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, has forgotten Zion, Mount Zion, the 12th hour, the place of his earthly throne. This is the place of his earthly throne. Now, Yahshua's earthly throne is right here. This now is not the 12th hour, the house of David, that we are been placed in charge of. That he has left his enemies to abuse. Who are his enemies? Our enemies in the Adventist Church is the house of Laban. And whoever is the house of Esau, house of Laban, they are Edomites. And they are our enemies. And we're all still in this Adventist Church together. His people, and to deface signs, exalted hill, but the Yahshua himself was assured that for Zion's sake and for her people's freedom was he nailed on the cross. Isaiah 49:17. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. So our destroyer that has made us waste, the house of Laban, this is the house of Laban, they're going to go forth out of the midst of us. Zion's children shall be anxious to get to her, but her enemies, the sinners, will be driven away from her. Isaiah 49, 18 and 19. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith Yahshua, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an armor, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth, for thy waist and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by the reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. For their word, behold, calls attention unto a goodly number of the precious soul already preparing to come. And in them shall Yahweh's service flourish. Moreover, in spite of the great number of the unrepentant sinners that are to be taken away, the land shall even then be too narrow because of the great incoming multitude. Isaiah 49:20. For the children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. From this verse we get that the children which Zion shall lose are those who refuse to be converted. Her loss, though, is to be replaced with a great number from all nations, and thus shall the land become too narrow. The verses that follow reaffirm this view. Who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will lift up mine hand unto the Gentiles, and set up my standard unto the people, and they shall bring thy son and their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their faces toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am Yahshua, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Though we may now be either hated or unknown, the day is coming when we shall be comforted, for the great men of the earth shall then see the soldiers that speak lift up the dust of our feet. Isaiah 49:24-25. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But this saith Yeshua, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contends with thee, and I will save thy children. No power in the world shall any longer be able to hold Yahweh's people down in the dust. Isaiah 49:26. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with the sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Yahshua, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, as the mighty one of Jacob. For our enemies shall kill one another with as great zeal as if they had filled themselves with sweet wine. Then those that remain shall recognize that Yeshua, as the mighty one, or Jacob, is our Savior and Redeemer. Shall we therefore still sleep on, or shall we arise in the righteousness of Yeshua and get ready to meet the Yeshua and to be able and to be with him in his kingdom? Your opportunity and the time of your decision is now. Come and cannot be put off. You must take a firm and active stand with this layman's movement. In this, the work of which is first for the church, then for the world. End of our study on One Time of Greens, number 46. Okay. Well, we got a little time left to make out an hour. Let's go ahead and read about Jacob's time of trouble again on One Time of Greens, number 47. June 28, 1947. We are now to continue the same subject which we have been studying from the book of the Isaiah. But today we shall study it from the book of the Jeremiah. To begin with, we shall notice that the first chapters of the book deal with the ancient Judah and Israel, with their sins and stubbornness of the house, and with the resultant dispersion throughout the Gentile nation. For the 30th chapter, however, deals not so much with the scattering of the ancient Judah and Israel, but with the gathering of the Judah and Israel in our day. We shall now begin our study with the first three verses of Jeremiah 30. For the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Yahshua, saying, Thus speaketh to Yahshua of the king of Israel, saying, Write thee all the word that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith Yahshua, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith Yahshua, and I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it. Note that both Judah and Israel together have the promise of returning unto their homeland. As this has never yet been realized, the prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. 7:30-7:46. And these are the words that Yahshua spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah, the lawgiver. Genesis 49:10. It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And Shiloh is Yahshua, and unto him shall he give another people be. For thus saith Yahshua, we have heard a voice of the trembling, of the fear, and not of the peace. Ask you now, and see whether a man doth travail with his child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. For the cause of the fear here forecast is fundamentally needless and unnecessary, declares Yahshua. Jeremiah 37. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For the people that have come to this antitypical time of the trouble are returning unto the homeland, are comforted. Apparently it is bad enough to frighten all, the sure encouraging counsel is fear not. Plainly the burden of this chapter is concerning the antitypical returning unto the homeland. Though terrible the trouble may seem, yet the outcome of it is to be the same as in the type. Right now, we may not appreciate this study as we ought to, but the time is soon coming in which we will dig as fast and as hard for it as we would to get out from under an avalanche. Those who have but little faith in the word of Yahweh, though, the study will not do them much good. Now is the time to start cultivating the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20. We need to have them. For the Jacob as our type, we all knew that the Yahweh had directed his return from Padan Aram to the homeland, yet he trembled when he heard that Esau with the 400 men were on their way to meet him. Besides, he was led to wrestle with the angel all night long, yet he prevailed only because he would not let the angel go until he blessed him. The final result was that on the morrow, Esau, rather than destroying the whole coming, very kindly greeted Jacob with a kiss and cordially invited him to return home. So when it all worked out itself out, Jacob plainly saw that there was no need at all to have ever feared. How encouraging that all these things happened unto them, for then sampled, and they are written for admonition upon whom the end of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. that which has happened unto Jacob is sure to happen unto us. And how comforting to know all this ahead of the time. Now, if never before, we should see that where there is a type, there is also an antitype, and that where there is no type, there is no truth. Jeremiah 30, verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day, says Yeshua of the host, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. It says, this verse plainly says that Yeshua is to free his people from the Gentile yoke, and that strangers, unconverted, shall no more trouble them. So we're living right now in the midst of a situation like that right here in it, and this place where we're living here now, Jeremiah 30, verse 9, that they shall serve the Yeshua, their king, and David, their king. Okay, so Yeshua, the heavenly king, and his underservant, also with the title of King David, their king, whom I will raise up unto them. No longer shall the followers of the truth serve others, but they shall serve Yeshua, and a king whom the Yahweh himself shall provide. Which is Yeshua himself shall provide. So let's read that again. No longer shall the followers of the truth serve others, but they shall serve the Yeshua and a king whom the Yeshua himself shall provide. Okay, that's plain enough. Jeremiah 30, verse 10. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Yeshua. Now there be this day, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. There is therefore no need of the fear, but there is a need for the faith in the promises of the Yahweh. Jeremiah 30, verse 11. For I am with thee, saith Yeshua, to save thee, though I make a full end of all the nations whether I have scattered of them of thee, yet will I not I make a full end of thee. So I will correct thee in the measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. The punishment dealt to Israel is their being scattered among the Gentiles, as amplified in the verses which follow. The time of their freedom is nevertheless come, and for this we should be glad and give Yahweh the glory. Jeremiah 30, verse 12 to 19. For this saith Yeshua, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicine. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thy iniquity. because our sins were increased, why Christ thou for thine affliction. Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all of thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be spoiled, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wound, saith Yahshua, because they call thee an outcast sin. This is Mount Zion at the 12th hour. It's the house of David, the tribe of Judah, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith Yahshua, behold, I will bring again the captivity of the Jacob's tent, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. After having gone through their captivity, the people shall fully realize Yahshua's mercy and his wisdom to save them, for they shall be happy for evermore, for he will multiply them in the land of their fathers, and there he will make them great. Jeremiah 30:20. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them, for the kingdom that has been searched purified is now called the Mount Zion, the 12th hour of the purified kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven and on earth. That's the Daniel 2:44-45. And apart from the world is to be as natural and as real as was the kingdom of the ancient Israel, that there will be no sinners in it. Let's continue on and finish this one time degree, number 47. It says, Jeremiah 30:21-23. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahshua? And you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. Behold, the whirlwind of the Yahshua goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked, for the noble shall be of themselves, that is, this kingdom shall be a self-governing, operating with a theocracy, meaning church and state. It'll be both religious and civil government, church and state. For the word, behold, calls attention unto something that can be seen, and therefore implies that the Yahshua's whirlwind is already going to work, is doing its work. No wonder then that we are now having disturbance of all kinds and heavy loss of the life and property throughout the earth. Jeremiah 30:24. For the fierce anger of the Yahshua shall not return until he have done it, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. for the very fact that these truths are now revealed, and also the fact that the things foretold by the scriptures are now taking place plainly, show that we are now living in the latter days, the days in which we must consider the cause of the evils which envelop the whole world and make our calling and election sure. Now, how thankful we ought to be that the Yahshua is feeding us with the meat in the due season. Though people kill one another by the millions in order to free themselves from the yoke of some other nation, Moses freed ancient Israel without the casualty. We should now know that faith removes mountains, while doubt ruins the nation. We should no longer be fools and slow of the heart to believe all that the prophets have written. Luke 24:25. Believe that Yahshua's motto, and it should be ours too. No doubters will ever enter his kingdom. These things are written that we might believe. John 20:31. There is but one sensible conclusion that you can come to, and that is to wholeheartedly accept and to comply with all that the prophets have written. Let no one divert your attention from this truth. That's the end of our study for this. Our contact is at the 11th hour, calling us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now. This ends our study for this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour, calling. We will close now with this hour.